that. I will just pause for a moment. If there's anything I can clarify up to this point. Okay, let me see. Okay, great. I'm gonna go on as I go along. Feel free to, of course, drop stuff in the chat, or you can raise your hand if there's anything I need to clarify. Okay, so moving it ahead, we're going to talk about the recommendations on the types of new projects that the COC should consider funding. And there's sort of, there's two primary sources of funding when we're talking about these projects. So there is what we call continuum of care bonus funding, or COC bonus funding. This pool of funding may serve really kind of a broader, relatively broad scope of people who are experiencing homelessness. I mean, they do need to, of course, align with HUD's definition of homelessness, but it's really sort of a broader scope of who these projects funded by bonus funding can serve. The reallocated dollars, which I talked about earlier, if we do have any reallocated funding, those funds can be combined with COC bonus funding to fund projects. You could have one project that's funded with both reallocated and bonus funding. However, COC bonus funding may not be combined with domestic violence bonus funding. So domestic violence, or DV bonus funding, is a separate pool of new project funding that we will be receiving, or that we anticipate receiving. The projects that are funded with the DV bonus dollars must exclusively serve people who are fleeing domestic violence, fleeing or attempting to flee. So category 4 homeless, for those of you who are familiar with those categories. And the domestic violence bonus funds cannot be combined with COC bonus or reallocated dollars. So we don't yet know how much funding of either type we have, but just know we do anticipate having these two pools of funding. And I say anticipate because the notice of funding opportunity is not out yet, but we're just basing everything on last year's and prior year competitions. So the next few screens do have a lot of text on them. I will acknowledge that. So it's a little text heavy. Again, everything that I'm going over here has been provided in the board packet. So again, I'm hoping you've had an opportunity to review that. So the first kind of recommendation on the screen here as permanent supportive housing, so PSH, the recommendation is that the COC release an application, allow agencies to apply for new PSH projects that are kind of what we call dedicated plus, which is essentially projects that must serve people who are experiencing chronic homelessness or have other high needs and high vulnerabilities. The recommendation is that these projects be targeted to either families or single individuals, and that we not consider applications that are specifically targeted to youth who are ages 18 to 24. And so any new PSH projects would be available to be applied for with our COC bonus dollars. We cannot use DV bonus to fund PSH. I give some rationale here for the recommendations. A lot of the rationale, it really ties to some of the system modeling work that has been done as a part of our strategic planning, which demonstrates the need for additional PSH. In the document in the board packet, I do link to that full system modeling report if you want all of the data there. In terms of the rationale for not targeting these projects specifically to people aged 18 to 24. We do have two youth-targeted permanent supportive housing projects with a third that is going to start later this year. So at this point, we do have some resources specifically targeted for youth. Another thing to keep in mind is that really anyone over the age of 18 may be served in any of our PSH projects, even if that project is not specifically targeted to youth. The next recommendation on the screen here in terms of the projects type to be funded is rapid rehousing. So again, recommending that we release that new project application for rapid rehousing with projects to be targeted to either individuals or families or people fleeing domestic violence if the agency is applying for the DV bonus funding. Like with PSH, recommending that we not consider applications specifically targeted to youth. The rationale for really these recommendations are largely the same as for PSH when looking at our current need data and the projects we currently have kind of in the pipeline targeted to youth. Both of these recommendations are the same as how we did the local application process last year. Continuing on, recommendations for different project types. The next project type that we are recommending an application be released for is for Coordinated Entry Supportive Services, or CESSO. The recommendation is that we do allow agencies to apply for these funds. There's some kind of specific layers to this recommendation as well. For any applications for coordinated entry funding that would be funded with COC bonus dollars, the recommendation is that those applications may only be submitted from current CESSO recipients. So two agencies in the COC that currently receive that funding would be the only eligible applicants to continue to receive additional funding. And that is the same way that we did it last year as well. The other piece to this recommendation is that for any coordinated entry applications that may be requested using domestic violence bonus funding, that those applications would be open to any eligible applicant, meaning they have to meet HUD's eligibility criteria, which is essentially they need to be a nonprofit, a unit of local government. All applications would need to have a letter of support from the CAM Governance Committee. These recommendations around the coordinated entry funding all have come from the CAM Governance Committee. So we had conversations with that committee, and this is the recommendation that they have put forth. There's no change to these recommendations or this process from last year, with the exception that last year, you may recall, we did have a specific set aside of some funds for the new CAM lead agency that kind of came off the top of all of the new funding that we had available. There is no set aside this year. Any new coordinated entry funding would only be awarded on a competitive basis. The next type of application or project type is HMIS. This specifically is funding that is may only be received by the HMIS lead agency. So this is not talking about individual budget line in a project application, like that they can apply for HMIS to do their own data entry or staff support. All eligible applicants will still be able to request an HMIS budget line. This recommendation is, which has come from the HMIS lead agency, which is the only applicant to receive these funds, is essentially recommending that we not release an application for this new funding because the HMIS lead agency has no intention of seeking new HMIS funding this year. And so because they have no intention of doing so, there's no need for us to release an application for it because they are the only entity who could apply anyway. The last project type for which we're putting forth recommendations is this joint component transitional housing rapid rehousing project type. So you'll see it abbreviated as THRRH. This is a project type that essentially combines both transitional housing and rapid rehousing into one project. The recommendation is, so this project type could be funded using either COC bonus or DV bonus. The recommendation is that we only consider applications for this project type using our DV bonus funding, which means the projects would have to be targeted to people fleeing domestic violence, and that we not consider applications for this project type for other populations. Again, this is how we have done things in the past with our local competition, so there's no really change in how we've done things in the past. But the rationale kind of for this is that this joint component type does seem to be an appropriate intervention for people fleeing domestic violence. We do have two projects of this type currently in operation in our COC. We do also have a new youth-focused project of this type that's funded with YHDP dollars is ramped up kind of towards the latter part of 2023. So I think we're still sort of in the learning phase of how that project is working. But overall, I mean, within the Values and Funding Committee, they really feel like when we are considering the non-youth or non-DB populations, that the COC would be better suited to focus efforts on ensuring adequate permanent supportive housing or rapid rehousing project types. So we're going to, before we go on to kind of, so our next kind of set of recommendations is going to be going into talking about supportive services only for some projects. But before we get there, again, I will pause to see if there's any questions around kind of this first set of recommendations, which is around types of new projects. So this next recommendation, see, is sort of a side recommendation. It has to do with supportive service only budget lines for rapid rehousing and then that joint component THRRH project type. So the recommendation is that we allow our rapid rehousing and our joint component project types to request a supportive services, which requests just a supportive services budget line, without also having to request additional units within their budget. This, like with any kind of question in the application, the applicant would have to provide rationale and how those increased services would ultimately improve client outcomes. Excuse me. So the rationale to this recommendation is really that historically we have allowed our permanent supportive housing projects to do this for the past several years. This was a policy choice that was put in place several years ago in response to what we were hearing at that time from our PSH providers, their need for additional services funding to better meet the needs of the people that they were serving. So we have been hearing similar needs within the rapid rehousing providers as well, in that they are seeing more people being referred to their projects that have perhaps higher than expected service needs, and that they could benefit from additional kind of augmented supportive services. So this recommendation, if approved, would allow, as an example, an existing rapid rehousing project to submit an application for just services funding to perhaps hire another case manager or, you know, a half-time case manager or whatever they want to, you know, however they would want to structure their request to provide additional improved services to the people in their programs. That's really just an example of how that would kind of play out. But again, overall, the rationale is to help just respond to what we've been hearing from the providers in terms of their needs in serving people. Okay, I want to be mindful of the time, so I'm going to keep going to the third recommendation is the way I kind of the only way I've come up to phrase this is the order of fund allocation for COC bonus projects. So you'll recall, so we kind of just had this conversation or went through the recommendations of the types of projects that we would want to receive applications for the COC bonus funding. So permanent supportive housing, rapid rehousing, coordinated entry, you know, those types of projects. So once we've received those applications, once they have gone through the review process and we have an idea of, you know, which applications are, you know, meeting the scoring threshold and we want to fund in our community, then the question comes, well, we have, you know, this list of projects, but not enough funding likely to be able to fund them all. So how do we then really prioritize, or kind of in what order then do we want to fund these projects that have gone through the application process and that we would ultimately like to fund? So that's what this order of fund allocation is really intended to address. So it there's some complexities here, so I'm just going to kind of walk through this. There's essentially kind of six orders of priority for we're just talking about continuum of care bonus funding. We're going to talk about DV bonus funding in a minute. But there's really six orders in which we're recommending the funding be allocated. So I'm going to go through these one at a time to hopefully break it down a little bit. So the first order of priority would be that we fund new permanent supportive housing. And I say new, again, with new and expansion kind of meaning the same thing. But for ease of presentation, just saying new. So new permanent supportive housing projects that will result in new units being funded with a goal of funding 30 new units. Then, if we have funds remaining after we allocate those projects, we would want to fund rapid rehousing projects that also result in new units with a goal of funding 20 new units of rapid rehousing. Then, if funds would remain, we would fund any PSH projects that are requesting services only. As you'll recall, PSH projects can request, submit a budget request just for additional supportive services. Then the fourth order of priority would be rapid rehousing projects that are requesting service funding only. The fifth category or priority, again, this would be if funds remain, would be if there's any additional rapid rehousing or permanent supportive housing projects kind of left. And then the sixth allocation priority would be coordinated entry supportive services only. So the again, kind of with these order of priorities, again, the goal is to prioritize using our funding that will first bring on additional and new units of housing, and then even within that, new permanent supportive housing over new rapid rehousing. And then kind of further on down the priority list would be funding, again, those projects that would provide supportive services funding only. And then lastly, if funds continue or still remain after making those allocations, new coordinated entry grants. So I'm going to pause there before I go to the fund allocations for domestic violence bonus. It's a little bit, it's the same kind of process, is a little bit simpler, more simply laid out, but I will just pause there if there's any questions on kind of what this recommendation is recommending. Okay. Hearing none, we'll go on. So the next recommendation is the same type of order, is an order of fund allocation priority for our domestic violence bonus projects. Because there are fewer DV bonus project types that can be funded, this order of priority is a little bit more simple. You can see there's only three layers to it rather than the six layers that we saw earlier. So the first order of priority would be new. Again, these are just the DV bonus projects. So the first order of priority is new rapid rehousing or those joint component projects that would bring on additional units. The second order of priority would be new projects that would provide services only. So again, seeking to expand their supportive services. And then the final priority, if funds remain, would be a new coordinated entry supportive services only. So in many ways, kind of the logic is the same, really wanting to prioritize those projects that are going to first bring on new units, and then services only, and then coordinated entry kind of at the bottom. All right, I'm going to go on to the final recommendation. This is around new project evaluation criteria. So I will say in your board packet, I gave a lot more detail. And even within the board packet, I also linked to another document that gave even more detail. So you could have spent a whole lot of time this weekend reading this new project evaluation criteria. I'm not going to go over every evaluation criteria in this presentation just for the sake of time, but I'm going to highlight on some overarching things. One thing to note is that there are really not many changes recommended in how we evaluate our new projects this year than how we evaluated them last year. For over the past two competitions, starting in 2022 and then 2023, we made quite a number of changes to our new project evaluation criteria that really, I think, did a good job of really broadening and strengthening how we evaluate our projects for quality and capacity and meeting community needs. So over the past 2 years, we have made some pretty significant changes to how we evaluate our new projects. So this year, going into 2024 and looking at the evaluation criteria, I think there's a sense that right now we're in a pretty good place. There are a couple of tweaks and changes that we are recommending. Those rationale for those changes are essentially to align with some informational only questions that we're asking of the renewal projects, just to create some greater alignment there. So some of the key sort of new or revised evaluation criteria, kind of what they include. There's always been a question on the service model description that the applicant needs to describe the services that are going to be provided in their project. So there's some more details that are being asked of the agency within that service model, you know, to specifically ask about the best practices that they're using, how they scale up services or scale down services based on client needs. So really just doing a little bit more kind of teasing out what we're asking for or what we're requiring the applicant to respond to. There is a new evaluation criteria that we're asking on how the agency ensures that people are placed in quality housing that meet HQS standards, how they respond to the need for, you know, unit repairs, et cetera, kind of throughout the year, just really to make sure that once people are placed into housing, we want to see that the agency has a plan and the ability to respond in a timely manner if needs arise within the units, you know, while the person is living there. One of the other key changes that we made has to do with the meaningful inclusion of people with lived experience of homelessness. This includes both people who are served within their programs and their staffing and decision-making structures. This was a question in the application last year, but what we have essentially done is taken the one question, split it into two, and within that split, we've added some additional details that we are requesting or requiring the applicant to respond to. It's also worth more points overall, kind of within that change. So that is really, it's intended to give us even more details and more information on how the agency meaningfully includes people with lived experience of homelessness. So again, all the details of that evaluation criteria are in the board packet. This is really the extent of what I wanted to highlight, because by and large, we are not recommending any other changes to the criteria. Okay. All right. So those are the five recommendations that I wanted to go through. Kind of at the point now where, you know, open it for questions. At some point, we are going to need a motion. I am in a few minutes going to be putting a voting link in the chat box for board members to vote on. You're going to see each of the five recommendations are going to be listed separately. You will be asked to vote for, you know, yes, no, or abstain on each of them. Again, we ask only board members who are not going to be applying for new project funding will be able to vote on these recommendations. This aligns also with how we handle these conversations within the Values and Funding Committee, or any committee members that were with an agency that thought they might be applying for new funding, that individual was recused from all of these conversations. So we'll do that in just a moment. I do see a question about the board packet. So the board packet, I did email it directly. Well, the document I referred to was emailed directly to all board members. However, I believe it is also posted to HAND's website. So if you are not a board member, you will need to go to HAND's website to access the board packet. All right. So I will, again, I will pause there. Are there any questions or clarification I can provide? Hearing anything. Thanks, Armani. I would ask that if we can have a motion made for this item.
Amanda, I'll make a motion. The CLC board recommend that. Oh, what motion am I making?
I mean, I think you could maybe use the language that I have in red there on the screen.
To approve the recommended fiscal year 2024 new project funding priorities and evaluation criteria.
Lydia has a question, but I second the motion, but we should probably read Lydia's question
first. Yeah, we need to go to the question.
All right, sure, thank you. Let me, Okay, Lydia, that's a great question. If you're recusing yourself from the vote, you still vote abstain. I would say yes, please. So you'll see in the form, there's a, box for your name. That was difficult for me to say. So so you will select abstain with all of the options and then type your name in the box. So, yep, no, that's a great question. It's helpful for everyone. Thank you.
So we have a motion and it's been properly seconded, so we can move forth with the vote.
Thank you. All right. So the link is in the chat. So again, the link again is just for board members. The link is going to be open throughout this entire meeting. As I know, we have several other agenda items to get through today. The link will be open really until about 5:30 this afternoon. So if you want to take additional time, which means may not be able to kind of present the results of this today, but that the link is there. Just in terms of next steps, after everything has been tallied and we see, if everything was approved, we'll be finalizing the application materials, which will be sent out. The information around, the release of the new project RFP will go out over our listserv. It will be sent directly to our currently COC funded agencies. It will be posted on our website. That will all go out within the next few weeks, along with specific deadlines as well. Also within the next few weeks, I will begin recruitment to board members who may be interested in participating on the appeals committee or the new project review committee. Of course, we'll have to avoid any conflicts of interest that may be there, but just know that those you will be hearing from me along those lines in the next few weeks or so. So more details to come. All right, I can see the votes are coming in, which is great. It means the link is working. So with that, I am going to end my presentation. I thank you all for your time. I know that this was a lengthy one. This is always one of the lengthier ones. So I appreciate you sticking with it. And